Hey everybody, it's JD from the Red Leaf RetroCast. This is a special bonus wrestling episode. What was supposed to be a 20 to 30 minute conversation turned into just about an hour featuring myself, my mom, Kay from the Big Egg Joshi podcast, and Jay from the Smack It Down podcast. It is a review over AEW episode 48 from September 2nd, 2020. It also functions as a preview of All Out, and we just had got caught up in the conversation, having fun talking about AEW from the night and previewing the pay-per-view. It was as per usual how we record, but again, it just went the idea just went too long. We had too much fun, and putting on a special episode I thought would be a lot of fun considering all the people we had on and the fact that my mom is going on vacation. So we recorded this right after Dynamite. So hope you guys enjoy the special bonus episode. These don't come out very often, and hope you enjoy. Play that music. All right, guys, we're back. It's the Red Leaf RetroCast, WrestleCast edition. It's episode 65. We are here for the AEW recap. It's a party because All Out is a-coming. Is the go-home show for All Out is AEW Dynamite. Not only do I have my mother here, I got Kay, the regular guest, and Jay, you're here too.
I am here. It's been a while. I'm excited.
Wow. You're not working, Jay?
Right?
No, what I have 2 days off a week. You just happen to catch me on a day off.
Wow, nice. What an awesome day. And what time is it for you?
Like just after midday.
Not bad. Not bad.
No, Dynamite starts at 10 a.m. here, so it's perfect.
And you know what wasn't bad? The go home show for All Out.
No, it was not. It was pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. Every freaking match was awesome.
You loved them, Mom.
I will agree with that.
I even liked the women's match, actually. Not bad.
That was a very good match, though.
Yeah, it was. And getting opportunity to see her in a match, though she was in dark last night, though I didn't watch it, right?
Thunder Rosa? I don't think she was on Dark last night.
I thought I heard them say that she was.
No.
Or maybe it wasn't last night or another night.
No, they were promoting her for tonight. So, the cool thing about AEW Dynamite, and this is now a recurring theme, is they try to, on their go-home show, at the very least, now after X amount of time, previews every single match on the card for the pay-per-view in some form or manner. The more important ones get the most time, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So we started the show with Santana versus the Best Friends, a feud that has been developing over the past few weeks, starting with Santana Ortiz losing to the Best Friends in a singles match, then getting mad, destroying Trent's mom's minivan, bleaching their clothes.
Not very nice.
Not nice at all, I agree. And that culminated into starting the show with this feud. And this has molded itself into a mini feud of sorts with the Orange Cassidy-Chris Jericho feud and how they are going to play a role in that match on the pay-per-view. I quite like this.
Mm-hmm.
I like the build-up, too. It was pretty cool. It was like a high school bully stuff.
Yeah, kind of.
Especially.
Yeah, it's a very simple undercard sort of affair. Not everything needs to be this super serious, overdramatic main event type feel. This felt very in line with their characters, with the team being frustrated and with the team that's just themselves. And it's molded together with that. I guess Jericho and Orange Cassidy is going to be a semi-main type match.
Right, it might have to be, right? Or the tag match could be a semi-main, too.
Very well could be, absolutely.
I think the tag match might be the opener, because they usually do tend to open with a big match.
It's very possible.
Yeah, but that's a pretty sloppy cleanup afterwards. So,
Why would it be a sloppy? First. Why would it be a sloppy cleanup?
Because he's throwing him in a vat. You're talking about Orange Cassidy, right?
Yeah, the Mimosa Jericho? Mayhem. Yeah.
Orange yeah, but juice? Donna, the match doesn't have to be won by going into the Mimosa. It can be won by pinfall or submission. What I expect to happen is the match to end via pinfall or submission. Then after, one of them will go into it to get the heat back.
You think it'll be off the ring or in the ring?
It's not going to be in the ring.
I wanted it in the ring. I think it would be awesome.
They're fighting on like a scaffold.
That'd be awesome.
With a vat in the middle.
JD, imagine Elevation X from TNA.
No, I am very well aware.
There's just like a giant pool of friggin' mimosa.
Yeah, I don't want. No. That's been proven to be bad. Just give me like a Shark Tank situation. Off to the side, Ravensloft style. So, crazy hardcore match to start up the show. I thought this was a great way to culminate in their little feud and bleed into, again, the main event feud that's going into. Ends via the tire iron to the back. Ortiz gets the win. Everyone liked this?
It was good. I liked it.
I also liked it.
What are we talking about?
Santana Ortiz versus the Best Friends, the very first match on the show.
I was mad that they won. I did not want them to win. I do not like Santana and Ortiz.
Well, why?
I just don't like them. Oh. I don't like that they attacked the mom's car, and I'm a mom. And so it made me mad. And so I don't like them. And they're assholes anyways. They're just assholes, and I like Best Friends better.
Oh, well, this gets real heat with the moms out there.
DJ, she felt it on a personal level. She's like, that could have been my minivan.
That's right.
Mom, this might be an outrageous statement, but I might have grown up with you. No minivan.
No, never there had was, one there, of those, there but was that's a, besides the point.
There was a blue mobile, but you know that's as far as we went. a stolen Suburban at one point with gymnastics, but anyways, those are stories.
What's the Bloomobile? I need to know. No,
so I had a car that it was my very first car that I bought, and it was a Toyota Corolla. And all I cared about when I bought this car, because radios were optional, didn't care, didn't come with a radio. And all I cared about was could I roll the window down by reaching over to the other side, and I could, and that sold me on the car.
Had low standards in the 80s.
So that's a very interesting way to sell a car.
And it was a stick shift, because it was more expensive if it was an automatic, so I bought a stick shift.
Can't have those luxury vehicles.
By the time we moved to Houston, we still had that car, my first car from the 1970s.
Oh, welcome to the Red Leaf Retro Cars, friggin' automobile edition.
That Toyota Corolla. So it was so old that the rubber that was, you know, that was by the stick shift, we had to put a bandana around it because you could actually see the road.
Oh, yeah, that seems safe.
That's awesome, guys. Come on.
Hence the name of the Blue Mobile. It was hit three times, you know. I mean, it had its moments. It was a great car.
I don't recall being in the car during these hits, but...
Look, speaking from somebody who was recently in a car crash, they don't build them like they used to by the sound of things.
Oh, no, God, no.
Well, my car didn't come with any airbags.
That seems really safe.
Safe for the 70s.
So here's another one funny other story of my experiences with cars. So my father bought me this car because I was in a really bad accident. It was almost a head-on collision. So I ended up getting this other car.
Jay knows something
about
that.
And it was a Volkswagen.
I knew that was coming, Jay.
It was a Volkswagen station wagon. And I had to wear a raincoat on my legs when it rained because the rain would come through to the car. But after only having my car for a month, I was backing up and I backed it into a telephone pole. Well, me being me, and the engine's in the back, mind you, because it's a Volkswagen, and I couldn't get to the engine to see if there was any, maybe an oil change or if it needed
oil.
Was
this a Beetle? Please tell me this was a Beetle.
No, it was a Volkswagen station wagon, which it didn't make very many of those. You didn't see many of those. I did have a Volkswagen Beetle, though, yes. And that, too, was wrecked at some point.
You guys see a pattern here?
It sounds like your mom's just not very healthy for cars.
Actually, I'm a very safe driver. I was a school bus driver.
Hey, hail to the bus driver, bus driver, bus driver.
A whole lot.
Did the kids make it to school in one piece?
No, she didn't kick kids off the bus.
I actually kicked them off the bus.
Sorry, kids, this bus just ain't safe. Get off.
All right, JD, Hold on. Before we get back on track here, was she your bus driver?
No.
Fantastic.
Whoa. What happened to the audio on someone's end? Hello.
I don't know, but I heard it too.
Yeah,
I was actually a school bus driver for 4 years.
All right, we're still
here. Hail to the bus driver, bus driver, bus driver.
All right, back on track. So it was a car crash of the match. Chucky made a pyramid of cards made of chairs instead. He went through. There was a tire iron involved. They lose. MJF threatens his lawyer with the wood chipper death. That was cool on live TV. SCU and Proud and Powerful versus the Jurassic Express and Young Bucks went 13:56. All business, all flips. Fun. Bucks win via the BTE trigger. They will now face the Jurassic Express because they won the match at All Out. And as JR on commentary said, winner gets the extra paycheck because they're having a match on a pay-per-view. Fair enough. Nothing else.
Not in one contendership.
No, but it is funny you mention that. If you pay attention to the AEW rankings, Jurassic Express is number 5 and Bucks are 3. So that definitely does pay into account for the rankings. So we could see the winner of this get a TV title match.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Schiavone interviews Omega, my favorite thing on the entire show.
What's up with Adam's eyes?
Oh, so
he's been crying, Donner. He's upset.
Is that what it is? He's crying.
He's been showing emotion.
An emotional
man. Cry. Come on.
I thought he just was really stoned or something from drinking so much.
Well, I mean, it could be both.
His nose was red. Like, he's obviously gone through a few Kleenexes.
Yeah.
He's a very emotional guy.
Look, guys. So Schiavone interviews Omega.
My cowboy's emotional?
He does drink a lot. That tends to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you drink a lot, you do get a red nose, and it's not because you're blowing it.
I mean, you could be blowing a couple things if you want to drink. Anyways, Kenny Omega's wearing a Hanakamura t-shirt. It's her birthday.
Yeah, I saw that.
It would have been her birthday. Very nice little tribute.
Yep, it sure was.
They shouted out Kyoko on it, too. They shouted out, we can buy the shirts and everything, which I like.
That was a good touch.
That was a great touch. Everyone who knows just absolutely adored that sentiment. This is why Omega gets a lot of respect in Japan still. So on to the segment. Basically, Omega says, bring your A-game, FTR. Paige got fooled, calls him a fool. A damned fool. FTR comes out with Tully Blanchard, their manager, with the cooler. They start talking a bunch of shit to Omega. Colin Page, also a fool. Omega kind of defends Hangman Page, but not really. You know, he's like, yeah, he's my partner, but yeah, he was also stupid. FTR offers him the chocolate chalk.
Right.
And Omega does... I would say he was going in and out between his New Japan cleaner persona...
Mm-hmm.
In his regular persona. Did you guys pick up on this?
I did a little bit.
There was a lot of the facial expressions that were giving it away.
Absolutely, and his hair is slowly getting more and more dark as well.
It's all, yeah, and yeah, he's starting to embody the cleaner a bit more.
Yes, this is all very subtle movements for Kenny Omega.
What does this mean, you guys?
So, well, Mother.
The cleaner, okay, you want to take this one, Shadow?
No, you can, Jay, it's fine.
No, I don't care who answers just answer it.
Look, the cleaner was his... It was his heel persona in Japan. Like, it was pretty much what he used when he was running the junior title division over there.
Ah, okay.
To keep it in layman's terms.
Okay.
So, imagine a goofy 1980s bad guy that liked the Terminator.
Yeah.
Yes. That. I watched a bunch of promos. I watched a bunch of promos to sort of educate myself on it. So, I'd never seen the cleaner. And I can definitely see it. I can see a lot of it in the facial expressions, especially.
Okay.
Yeah, he's very overly animated with everything. It's just this over-the-top 80s villain.
For a while?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah, because like he embodied the best bout machine there for pretty much the end half of his career in New Japan and for the start of AEW. And if you were to go onto their website now, they're not listing him as the best bout machine anymore. They're listing him as the cleaner.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Like, he dyes his hair, he, like, starts chewing toothpicks, he wears aviator sunglasses, he just gets super overly animated. It's really over the top, and a lot of people see it as obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
But...
And MJF isn't.
Well, exactly. So, he was kind of going in and out on this, as well as even going to referencing the chocolate milk as, I can't turn down this chalk. 2% pasteurized, like, beauty.
Yeah.
But you guys are dickheads. Fuck you, basically. It's 3-on-1 here. He laughs at Tully being there, like, not really taking him into account. He's like, I might get a couple shots in. That's all that matters. Paige comes out or not, whatever. Paige does come out. Just bloodshot eyes. Just red in the nose, like you guys said. Looks like the dude has just been drinking all night and crying. He is just a wreck. Right? He gets in the ring. FTR just taunts him. Taunts Omega. Just verbally bitch slaps Paige, and Paige just realizes he got played. Right? He wants to hit him, but realizes they're right. And Omega is just letting it go. Like, yes, give it to him. Right? But as soon as they insult him, then we got a problem. And that's when Omega goes, look, they're just trying to split us up before the pay-per-view, get in our heads. They start arguing. FTR grabs the dropped tag titles, and then they fake them out, just drop them in front of Paige. They leave. Paige grabs them both, reaches behind him, not looking. Very important little tidbit there. And Omega doesn't take it because he's outside the ring. He has left his tag partner hanging. So much storytelling here. So much ifs, ands, or buts.
It's going to be exciting Saturday.
This is my most anticipated match.
It's going to be an exciting match Saturday.
Oh, yeah. JD, no, I 100% agree. Something's going to give in this match. We'll be saying it for months. Like, this is
It's been building. It's going to be an explosion.
So
I like the camera work. The camera work was what I liked the most because you saw the hand reach out with the belt. And we didn't see
him
out of the ring. We saw him come off to the side. So like, you can assume he was handing him the belt, and he wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was great. And then he shakes his head on the outside and walks away.
Yeah.
Look at KB and all artsy and articulate with there camera angles and stuff.
No, it's all very important. It's these subtle things. You didn't have the announcers making light of any of the situations. They're just going, why did Omega go outside? Like, just simple phrases.
Yeah.
It was really good to have Excalibur back. He brought just...
God, I'm so glad. I missed his voice there, you know? I just miss his commentary. I just always liked him.
He
really
fills
missed
in
him.
All those little gaps that AEW needs.
Yes, agreed.
He also balances out JR kind of well, because JR kind of goes off on a bit of a rails here and there at times, and he balances that out a little bit.
Well,
yeah, and even he does better with... Excalibur.
Well, the thing is, so Shivani's the commentator that likes the show, right? He's he's the guy just enjoying the ride. JR is supposed to take the serious sports-oriented role. Mm-hmm. Like, he's questioning mm-hmm. why some things are passing, why some things aren't. Mm-hmm. He's familiar with one style over another. What makes AEW different, and what makes it acceptable in certain manners? And that's where Excalibur comes in, to play off them both, because he knows the answers to it all. And it was very obvious... Yeah. This emptiness that was feeling over the past month mm-hmm. with him gone.
Yeah, for sure.
And Taz certainly didn't feel it very well. Taz kind of was like like shoving a peg in there at times.
Kind of.
A peg into a round hole. It kind of just didn't fit.
No. Well, and he belongs on Dark anyways.
So where no one can see him?
Exactly.
So sound off one at a time. Jay, I want you to go first. What is your prediction? Finish and possible aftermath of FTR versus Omega Page.
I think the finish will be FTR pinning or submitting Hangman Page for the title change with Kenny leaving him dry.
Ooh.
So no beatdown, he just leaves the ring and there's still some questions that need answers to.
Yeah, this'll build until... I'm not sure if we're going to get Full Gear this year or if we're going to get Revolution or whatever they're going to call the next pay-per-view, but this will build up until then.
Interesting. Kay, what do you think?
So I think I'm going to go with a little bit of a similar route, except I don't think Kenny is just going to leave him high and dry. I think there's going to be something in the match where there's going to be a miscommunication, and it's going to piss Kenny off, and Kenny's going to V-trigger Paige and walk out and let him get pinned.
Okay. Mother, what do you think?
I have FTR.
Okay.
As the winners.
So everyone has FTR winning. What do you think will happen after the match?
After the match?
Yes.
I think Paige will go into rehab.
Oh, God. Please, no.
I do. I think something's going to happen that he's going to have to go off in the distance for a while. Kenny Omega is going to be crushed. He'll be lost for a while. He's got to build up something else for himself because they're no longer the team.
I like your mom's idea. I think he's going to ride out in the sunset on his little horse. To rehab center.
Oh, little rhinestone cowboy.
Riding hand in hand right. In the Star Spangled Rodeo.
I've thought about this a lot. And this is the conclusion I've came to.
We have deep thoughts from JD.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think
right,
based on the
strap in.
I think based on the history of Omega Page and the Elite, and with Page being kicked out of the Elite by the Young Bucks from his betrayal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the Young Bucks are going to come out during the match to Omega's corner to support him and him alone. However, upon defeat from FDR, the Young Bucks will super kick all of them in the ring, hence setting up a further story between the three teams. It will not be Omega turning on Paige. They will rise together for the time being, because I still think the end game is indeed Omega Page. I don't think the time is now. Could it be? Absolutely. But I do think that they're first going to have one more match with the Young Bucks, along with FTR as champions, possibly a three-way involved, which would just be a cluster of awesome. And that will in turn lead to Omega Page breaking up, because then they will have failed at regaining the titles. I think this will be a test of their friendship.
You have put a lot of thought in that, JD, and you could be very, very spot on that one.
And because people want the cleaner back, he won't be booed. They will, in the West, like this character, and being him with cocky drinking Paige is just, it screams, I have to root for these two. Over again.
I can see that
so
happening. Actually.
It's basically FTR heels and the Young Bucks turn heel officially, completely. And that's what we get.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think there's a high probability of the Bucks coming in. But they are going to be in that winning team, right?
Well, think about it. Let's say the Young Bucks beat Jurassic Express earlier. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
That's also my prediction.
They will then move up in the rankings, or at least be contenders. Because if we're all assuming FTR wins, they will be the champions. Omega Page will be number one ranked, and that will move up the Young Bucks to number two ranked.
Gotcha.
Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, bang, bang, bang. They got their dream scenario in the rankings to make a match built up for TV over the coming weeks and culminating in a full gear match down the road for whomever will be that case.
So you did say FTR was going to win, though.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think they're there.
Boy, won't we all be a bunch of fools if we're not right?
Well,
definitely.
Okay, let's flip this on. If Omega Page do win, I still think the same scenario plays out.
Uh-huh.
I think the story is better if they lose and their friendship overcomes defeat. For the time being,
I feel FTR will win, but I don't want them to because I don't think they should get that title yet.
Mm.
I said that last week too.
No, you said you think they'd win last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still have that in the back of my head. Then I didn't put it to the front.
Jericho versus
bull crap. I love it.
Yeah, Jericho versus Joey Janela in his 90s windbreaker best. Orange Cassidy ringside as per Jericho's request.
Nice. I hate those pigtails.
You dig the pigtails?
I hate those pigtails.
Oh, you hate the pigtails. Why do you hate them?
I love the windbreaker. I love the windbreaker.
I want to cut those pigtails right off.
Well, Jericho was stepping on them, so you at least got half your
wish. I know.
Wish.
I was really happy about that.
Nice little 3-minute, 25-second tune-up match. Jericho busts Janela open.
Hey,
and
did you know that Jericho is 335 pounds?
Yeah, he's a beast now. He's thick as fuck. Rubs the blood on the Cassidy t-shirt he's wearing. Cassidy takes much offense to rubbing blood on his merchandise. Fun little brawl. Cassidy leaves him running. Pours out the bubbly with a thumbs down. How dare he? Prediction sound off. Cassidy versus Jericho. Mimosa mayhem. Jay, start us off.
Alrighty. Mimosa mayhem match. This weekend, I think Jericho is going to win by pinfall or submission, but I don't think Cassidy's going in the mimosa. I think after the match, Jericho is going to be the cocky son of a bitch that he is, and then he's going to end up in the tub.
Mm, could be. Could be. Kay, what do you think?
So I'm going the opposite. I think, well, not the clear opposite. I think Cassidy wins, and I think also Jericho takes a mimosa bath. I think Jericho's put people over and has shown that he's not afraid to put people over like that. So I think it's very possible. I don't see any other reason not to do that.
Mother, what do you think?
Orange Juice is going to take the match and they're both going in.
Here's the thing. And like, don't take this the wrong way, guys, but like, does it hurt Cassidy to lose to Jericho, but still get the last laugh?
No. No, I don't think
so. But a win means more. A win means a whole lot more.
Yes. At this point of his career, and, you know, Jericho's bragging about, you know, how he's built Orange Juice to be this megastar that he is today, you know.
I had a phone call.
So, of course, Orange Juice has to win, but I see them both going in the vat, and it would be a great ending.
Also, Jericho's a heel. How often do heels win the end of the feud?
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Exactly. So
what I was going to say was, before my phone call got rudely interrupted.
Turn your phone off.
I'm recording on my phone. I can't really turn it off. So, does it ultimately hurt Cassidy as much to like lose the match but still get the final laugh? Because as much as we want Cassidy to win this match, and by all means I think he should, they still need to kind of keep Jericho a little bit protected so they can use him in the future to build other people.
I disagree. I think Jericho's bulletproof. He can lose 1,000 matches in a row at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, sure enough.
For this match, I expect all the shenanigans. I think Proud and Powerful are going to come out. I think Jake Hager is going to come out. I think the Best Friends are going to come out and even the odds a bit. I see Cassidy.
You're all going to take a bath?
I see Cassidy winning this match via Superman punch into the vat from Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what? I'll even throw a bonus prediction. I think Cassidy winning the match jumps in with him to celebrate.
That would work.
That's great.
I know where you guys are coming from, but like looking at this from the perspective I was saying, like the closest person I've got to star power in regards to someone like Jericho is Moxley, and he's not anywhere close, in my opinion, to the level of star of Jericho.
Well, Jericho's not sniffing the title for a while.
Yeah, and also, like I said, Jericho's bulletproof. He's Chris Jericho. His name has value on its own.
Yeah, but you can't have him. No. I agree with you, but you can't have him lose like every time.
He hasn't lost every time. He's lost one match outside of Orange Cassidy, and that was losing the title.
I'm aware of this.
One.
I'm agreeing with you, but at the same time, I don't see it happening here. I do see Jericho going in the Marissa, but I don't see Cassidy winning.
So, like I said before, how often does the heel win the best out of three feuds? Not very often.
Outside of WWE? Not very often.
Right. So I think that means Cassidy has a higher probability of winning.
All right. The next two segments, we're just kind of recapping. We got the organic little feud of Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy. Broken Rules Elite Deletion at Daly's Place is the match. They exchange shit talk via, signs. I like this. Indeed, their little tables match was just adding to the feud in general. Sammy or Matt Hardy, Jay?
I think Sammy Guevara wins this match, even though it is for, quote-unquote, Matt Hardy to leave AEW. I think we're just going to lose one of Matt Hardy's personas.
Oh.
And I know that Sammy won the TV like match last week, but Matt is a name, and like on the contrary to what I said before, you can use Matt like you can use Jericho, but I think that this is going to be the one that the veteran loses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think?
So I got Sammy, and I'll go a step further and predict the personality I think is deleted. I think Broken gets deleted.
Ooh. Bold choice. Mom, what do you think?
I think we get hardcore Matt Hardy, like he's been lately.
Ah. What do you think, Mom?
I have Hardy. I have Matt Hardy.
Possible. It's possible.
Uh-huh.
I predict this will be a match that takes place over the course of the entire show in Daly's Place. They just keep recapping. They just keep going... All right, and in between the matches, all right, let's check in on Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara fighting around Daly's Place.
Could be. Dang, JD, you're good tonight.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening, and I think Sammy Guevara wins, and I'm going with Jay with a persona gets deleted.
And you know, you're probably right about that, because when they were doing the promo, they were showing all the times that Matt Hardy and was going after Guevara.
Right, and he's splitting in and out of personas because of the head injury that they're playing off of. They're doing this feud build in between commercials, which is kind of interesting. They're using the picture-in-picture to their advantage. I think that's very unique. It's an undercard feud, and they're going to make it an undercard match that's just going on in the back. I have seen this in other promotions do it. It's always fun. I could totally see this happening. We've already kind of done our Casino Battle Royale pick last time.
Did you say who it was going to be?
Sammy Guevara.
Oh, you have Sammy too?
I have Sammy winning, yes.
Ooh, three against one.
Yeah, you're the only one taking Hardy, Mom. Okay. Only one taking the good guy. Team Taz, Team Jake Roberts, Team Kingston, in promo showdown for their boys at the Casino Royale, quickly goes into pandemonium with 1,000 guys brawling.
That was awesome.
It was just nonsense. They go through the commercial. They have picture in picture. There's just more brawling, and then it's it just kind of breaks down and goes from there. So,
was there 21?
I'm sure there was 30 guys. I'm sure there was 1,000 guys that were out there. I have Lance Archer winning. Mom, do you still have Lance Archer winning?
Well, let me see. What did I have?
This dude lost to Cody.
So I have three. I have Archer for sure. And then I'm thinking Cage or Darby. But sure. Is Jericho going to be in that or not?
No.
No. Okay. I hope it's Archer. I would like to see Archer win this one.
Yes, Archer. Last we saw him, he came in. He came in bad out of fire, bad out of hell. Mm-hmm. Jay's got to leave in a little bit, so he's out.
Okay.
Do you want to quickly go through my things? Like as I sorry, I've had something important pop up.
Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, right, I'll just quickly ask you. Casino Royale winner.
Lance Archer.
Dark Order versus Sky Cordona, Dustin QT.
Dark Order with somebody joining the Dark Order from the opposite team.
All right, Thunder Rosa, Sheeta.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the kiss of death here because I kind of think potentially if they want to keep working with the NWA and use some more of their people in the future, it's gonna be Thunder Rosa for a little bit of title reign.
Swole Britt Baker.
Britt Baker, because it's in a tooth and nails match, and Britt is going to be the next person to challenge for the title, regardless of who wins the previous match.
And Moxley, MJF.
Mox, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to MJF.
Gotta pick one.
Like I said, Mox, but I wouldn't be surprised.
You're picking Mox. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Jay.
Sorry, guys.
Bye, Jay.
Really family emergency has got to go. It's understandable.
All right. Bye, guys.
So, Mom, you're still going Lance Archer. Kay, who do you got in the Casino Royale with these 1,000 guys being in it?
So, I've got Darby, and that goes into my later pick for the belt.
Ah, do you think he goes for the TNT title instead of the world? I know it says world title match.
So, I think Archer goes for the TNT. And I think you build Archer up slower than that. I think you build him to the TNT, you have him win the TNT eventually, right? I think maybe Brody Lee has like some interference, and maybe the first match doesn't get a clean finish, right? And I think he takes off Brody Lee. I don't think Brody Lee has a long run. I think something costs Brody Lee. I think someone in his group costs him, and he kicks that person out, and he starts a feud with that whoever that person is.
Good one.
I think it's Evil Uno, because Evil Uno and him have had that sort of thing back and forth lately.
No. Evil Uno and Grayson are a long-term tag team.
Hey, let him have his thing. That's what he's thinking.
He can think that, but he's wrong.
Well, I think Grayson.
He's way off base here.
Oh Lord.
I think Grayson sides with Uno.
I like your thoughts, Kate.
In Uno singles run, you got the WWE mind going here.
No, I don't think it's a singles run. I think it's going to be Uno and Grayson being their own team against the Dark Order, which is going to be Brody Lee and whoever he puts next to him in that team.
Nah, no way. I will not have this prediction.
I can understand. Yeah, but I can understand why Kay would think that, though, because the way that Brody Lee has been treating some of the people.
Especially Uno. He's been pushing Uno around a little bit.
You're
more
right.
Than the others on TV, at least.
Yeah, you're right.
He's been shoving them back. He's been sitting with papers and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I think that turns into something.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna blow your mind here.
So, oh my god.
None of that is gonna happen.
Okay.
Scorpio Sky is in this match for a reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sky, when he came out, pointed and yelled at Brody Lee. He is the man. That is your feud for the TNT title right off the bat. Sky is going to pin someone in the Dark Order, and he's going to be the first challenger for Brody Lee. That is the point of this match.
I gotcha.
Sure, but he's not going to beat Brody Lee, though.
I didn't say that. I said he's going to be the first challenger.
Sure, and that's what I have Lance Archer being the one that's going to beat Brody Lee later.
Well, that really conflicts with my Lance Archer winning the Casino Royale and going for the world title.
See, I think you're building. I think they're building Archer. I think you build Archer up a little bit slower. I think you make him a future person, like you do with Adam Page.
No, Lance Archer is almost in his 40s. They don't got that kind of time with him.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah,
I thought he was in his 30s at least.
No.
Okay, well, then I take back the Lance Archer winning the TNT thing.
No, you can't take it back.
You can't take it back. That's not allowed. You already said your nonsense.
No, okay, well, you can't take it back.
I still have Darby winning the Casino Battle Royal.
That's a fair pick. Yeah, he's feuding with Team Taz. That's been a long-term thing.
That's why I had three. I had Archer, Cage, or Darby, you know, because I like your pick for Darby.
They are the featured guys in the Casino Royale. I'm very hyped for it. It's been a good build, pandemonium type filled, but good enough. Thunder Rosa defeats Serena Deeb. 9 minutes, 52 seconds. A showcase match really showed you what Thunder Rosa is capable of against a game veteran of the Western women's scene. Really impressed me, definitely, in the match.
Mm-hmm. She's 34. Serena Deeb is. No, Serena Deeb is 34.
She was 32. Anyways.
Well, I don't know. No. Serena Deeb's 34.
Well, good for her. She really showed.
She's from WWE.
She was in it once upon a time. Yep.
Uh huh.
Shimmer and
she's been,
and the
she's
whatnot.
Been wrestling since she was 18 years old.
She's got some boots on her feet. That's for sure.
Yeah, it
definitely showed in the match.
I'm actually very happy this was not your typical squash match. Hey, I'm challenging you kind of thing.
Yep, me too. Because I was really getting tired of those stupid matches.
Right. This
especially
made it
with Reba. Oh my god! I can't believe they did that. What, 2 weeks in a row?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure did.
The one time was enough of that. That was horrible, bringing it in a second time.
Yeah.
It did not work that second
time. I've seen Reba wrestle in Japan. She was terrible there. She's still terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wrestled in Japan. It didn't get better like most people that wrestle in Japan.
I want to see one of those, JD.
You don't want to see this. You really don't want to see this.
I want to see how bad she was. I like seeing people that, you know, were back in the day. I just want to see it.
She wrestles one of the best in the world, and the best in the world couldn't even get a decent match out of her. That's how bad she is.
Wow. Well, I want to see how bad she is.
So, Mother, do you have Thunder Rosa or
dear.
Shida winning?
I actually have Shida winning. I can't see Thunder Rosa winning at this point. I can't give up the title to somebody who really is kind of new to AEW. Mm-hmm. I think they want to give Britt a chance because she's been out for so long. And they might even wait for, I already forgot her name, the alien.
Statlander.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, she's not coming back for 2021.
I know, but I mean, they don't even bring her up. She's not even around. She's like gone.
Yeah. Well, she is gone.
Is she back on her? She's back on her planet. So they don't even talk about
it. She had to get special surgery off Earth. You can't talk about aliens like that.
Her own planet needed.
But anyway, I don't see Shida giving up to Rosa at this point. No, I think it'll be a good match because at least there's it seems to be a even competition. So I think it's going to be a good match.
What do you think, Kay?
So do we know if there's a time limit on this match?
There will be.
Okay. So I can see it going to a draw. If they haven't signed Thunder Rosa, I don't think she wins the belt. If they do sign Thunder Rosa, I still don't think she wins the belt because Britt and Shida both have a feud already. And so why would you take it off of her when Britt's going to be the next one challenging? You already have a built-in feud. Why would you hotshot it onto Thunder Rosa? So the dude just showed up. It makes no sense to me. So I think it's a time limit draw. Keeping both strong and both champions and other companies strong. Mm-hmm. And then you can revisit it later if you need to.
Well, I could see. I'm going to go with Jay. I'm going to do the bold pick. Thunder Rosa winning because she's a world champion already.
Mm-hmm.
And since AEW's women's division couldn't be at a lower standing with fans,
mm-hmm.
you bring in a champion and that already has a heat to it with an outsider now winning the title. And now you're building up your own division to take back the outsider.
See, I see the opposite of this. I think you build your division up by having these two feuds you can set up. So you have this thing happen on TV. You have the Sheeta Britt stuff. And when that's done, you can revisit Sheeta Rosa while you're also building your undercard people up. That's why you have something on TV ongoing while you build a roster instead of sort of throwing them on TV to face Thunder Rosa when they're inexperienced, most of them.
Well, let's transition into the tooth and nail match at Britt Baker's dentist's office. Big Swole versus Britt Baker on the buy-in. So it's basically starting the show off. Who do we got?
Yeah, Britt's going to win that one.
I got Britt. Yeah.
I'm taking Big Swole.
Oh, please.
I'm taking Big Swole.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah.
Not on Britt's return match. No. I don't see it.
No.
I think Britt Baker's the heel. She's going to, I mean, if wrestling history teaches anything, you lose your quote-unquote specialty match. I think this is all for Swole to finally get back at Baker 100% and fully. Make her look like a fool. This gives Swole the big advantage. This also goes into why I think Thunder Rosa is winning, because she will be the heel, and she will successfully defend the title against the up-and-coming good guy that's going against her. It's going to be a redemption thing with Sheeta getting it back. I see it as a long-term story playing out.
I see. I also think that Britt winning this, I think it's going to be shenanigans. I think she's going to win by dirty means, and that's going to continue this feud, because this is the only match they've had, right? Again, you have two stories now. You have the Britt Swole stuff that you can take care of while Sheeta, after she beats Rosa, take her off TV for a little bit.
Sheeta and Baker have had like three matches together already.
Well, this puts time between. Also, she's been injured for so long, so it's been a long period of time, I imagine, since that match, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think you do Swole, and then you have Britt on TV. And I think that when that's resolved and you have Swole win at the end, you could have Swole challenge, and then you could have Britt and Sheeta do it. Is this why you're still building your champion? Because if you just keep taking the belt and throwing it at people, then what does the belt matter? What difference does the belt make when you're going to have two defenses? Because look at their other belts. The tag belts and the main belt have a lot of defenses, or at least have a good number of defenses under their belts, right? Each champion, right? So why can't you do that for the women? If you keep bouncing it from person to person, the belt loses any value because now it doesn't matter anymore. Because now anyone can win it, so what difference does it make? Why would you invest in this? If they're trying to invest in a women's division, then I think the best person you could have to spearhead this and this sort of initiative, this investment, is Hikaru Shida, one of your best wrestlers, if not the best wrestler on their roster. And someone who's probably also training.
And that's probably a reason why they didn't let what's her butt keep it for very long.
Nyla Rose?
Yeah, Nyla Rose.
She kept the women's title longer than Cody kept the TNT.
How many defenses does she have, though?
Two.
Okay, see, that's the problem here. You have more defenses under it. I think you want to... The complaint is they're not building their division. If you continue to hot potato the belt, then that's not building your division. That leads more...
I don't think that mindset exists, though. I don't think that mindset exists right now. The mindset right now in the women's division is there just isn't enough competition, and I think they want to go in the direction of a long-term story, and this is the way they're going to go about it. Could they go Sheeta wins and simply faces Swole? That's the more simple story. That's the more predictable story. Simple as that.
They haven't signed Thunder Rose yet?
If they haven't signed her, I don't see why you put the belt on her. Even as an outsider, I don't think that you have to take the belt off her soon, because what if this NWA partnership dissolves? Then what?
Well, you just have a short-term deal with her. I mean, it's like anybody else that also works for other companies. You can have side deals, like Brian Pillman Jr. with MLW. He is still technically under MLW contract.
Sure, sure.
AEW has proven to have contracts and deals with other companies.
Sure, but I think what I proposed, you're not having just one story. You have two, potentially three branching stories congruent. So now you're building it like you're doing your other divisions, where there's multiple things going on. So that way you're not having the same story on TV every week. So the Cheetah stuff isn't on every week. Maybe Thunder Rosa is on trying to squash somebody to get some momentum back. Or maybe you have the Brit and Swole stuff on TV, and then you have Cheetah and whoever's facing her at the time. It's this way you're cycling it out, so it's not just the same one, two, three people you're seeing.
Good thoughts on this.
And again, you want to build your division, spearhead it with Cheetah. Don't throw Thunder Rosa, the rest of that's not even yours. Why would you use that to spearhead this division?
See, the thing is, you're looking at this from a Joshi perspective.
Okay.
No, you can't say that, JD.
No, I absolutely can, because AEW and how they've booked their women and what they've shown just doesn't scream that. It doesn't show that. Could that be what they're aiming for? Absolutely. It very well could be. I don't think their intentions currently with their roster pool and the amount of TV time allotted, they even want to do something as intricate as that until they have that extra hour.
I like where Kay's going. I like it.
No, I like it too. I don't see it happening. To bring it down to earth.
It may not happen, but it's a great thought.
So I could see it happening because Kenny's still involved in it. I can see maybe Kenny wanting to spin it in a more Joshi structure. This way, you have your four, five, six players, right? That you can feature the ones that know how to wrestle, right? I think you nab Rachel Ellering and Nicole Savoy, or one of the two you can get, right?
Well, the problem is we don't know that they're signed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you try to sign them and you filter them into this. This way you have at least six people that you can rely on as reliable hands while you build up your Anna Jays and your other people and Tay Conti's and stuff at the bottom of the roster that get built up. And I think you don't just keep taking the belt off of your champion because you want someone as the figurehead. You want the person in front of your division. Hikaru Shida, this is our best wrestler.
And Shida hasn't had it for very long either, has she?
Yes, she has.
How long has Shida had it?
April. No, May. She's had it since May.
That's not very long.
That's not very long at all.
Four months.
But we really haven't seen. But we haven't seen her wrestle very much either. So
if she's your best wrestler, why would you not want that person the front and center of your division?
Yeah. No. She's going to win. Hands down.
Thunder Rosa's not even yours.
Well, to continue playing the devil advocates game, Thunder Rosa also speaks English and Spanish, which gets a different market as well. So you could continue a few. Well, I know so. But this is also the West, where most people speak English and Spanish.
So?
Sure. But I don't see that being... So I don't think that's something they should focus on. No, I think building the division should be the focus, not branching out into other... Build your division first, then go there, right? So you have...
But if they can have somebody that can cut a promo like a Britt Baker, then that allows them to be... on TV a little bit more, right?
Sure, that's why you have Britt feuding with some of these people. That's why you have Swole feuding with these people. Sheeta doesn't have to cut a promo.
And Britt Baker's been the focal point on TV.
I think Sheeta can just be this presence there. I think Sheeta.
But they haven't used her like that. They haven't done that. That's the problem. Anyways, we're going on too long. I gotta cut this off. Sterling got his ass kicked by Moxley. It was a joke.
I'm with Kay.
It was kind of a slog main event, but in the end, MJF beat the shit out of him, opened him up.
It was hysterical.
It was great.
Smart Mark Sterling got what's coming to him. MJF stood above him, stood above the bloody heap that was Moxley. Moxley or MJF, who's winning, Kay?
I have MJF.
Oh, why? Hell no. I have Moxley.
That's why I think Darby is going to win it, because I think Darby's going to challenge him.
Mm.
Oh,
interesting.
Now I still have Moxley on this one.
Why?
Because he's my guy.
You care to elaborate?
I just don't see MJF. I think he's an asshole, and I don't think he deserves the belt. He hasn't wrestled enough for me.
Don't use that word deserve.
Don't
use the deserve word here.
He doesn't deserve the belt.
What are you talking about? He beat Cody. left him a bloody broken mess. He beat the Jungle Jabroni at he has two straight big pay-per-view wins. He's maintained an undefeated singles record in AEW. Of course he deserves it.
Oh, hell no.
Based on his ranking and record, MJF absolutely deserves... We deserve better, mother.
Damn right we do.
Well, he ain't going to get it.
Dictator John isn't going to dictate his...
Dictator John is going to kick his ass so bad that you saw him with a walker and a neck brace. Well, he's going to be in a body cast.
Oh.
So, I don't see MJF.
I see MJF winning because he's a heel, because he's a dick, he's a douchebag. I think you have that heel at the top to have a baby face that you build up, run after him.
Well, I don't see him winning. And I see Wardlow doing something. If MJF wins, it's because of Wardlow, not because of MJF.
Well, that's the point. He's a heel. He's a bad guy. He's supposed to be an asshole. He's supposed to cheat. You're supposed to not like him.
Right. And I don't like him. I don't want my Moxley to lose the belt to him.
So when Darby Allin beats him eventually, it makes that so much more sweeter.
Yeah, that's true. Because I'd like to see, I like Darby too. Darby's my guy.
Well, based on the themes going in AEW, I predict Moxley is going to win. He's going to choke out MJF. He's going to bust his larynx so he can't talk. It will be
that would be helpful.
It will be the great story of MJF overcoming his. He will be a disheveled shell of his former self because he has lost finally in AEW. He's going to play off the broken larynx. He can't talk. Uh-huh. He's just going to be like, Wardlow, talk for me. Yeah. So that's going to be a fun story. And because I think Lance Archer's winning the Casino Royale, the big heavy, Moxley's proven himself to be a giant killer of sorts, the big baby face. He's got one more on the road. And once he takes care of the big Lance Archer, the Murder Hawk monster, then we can talk about him losing. Because after his after him beating Cage the way he did, this dude can hold the title for another year for all I'm concerned.
Well, so far he's had it for 186 days.
Yep, he passed Jericho. So that's my prediction for All Out. That's the whole card, basically.
And I tell you, it was so nice not seeing Cody in the ring.
Oh, it was great. Not seeing him even on TV.
Wasn't it? I mean,
no, it works perfectly. We still have no update on his condition, which we were promised.
That's okay. Nobody cares anyways.
I guess no one cares now.
His fake hair and his shitty tattoo could just stay in a hospital bed.
Well, that's the Ken doll hair.
It's plastic hair. It's plastic hair. He plugs it on his head every day when he goes out the ring. With his shitty neck tattoo and his terrible ring gear and terrible music and overdone pyro. Oh, he's missing a shitty spray tan.
Tell us what you really think, hey.
That's our AEW Dynamite review, All Out predictions. Guys, this was fun.
It was a blast.
See you guys at the pay-per-view.
You betcha.
Sweet, looking forward to it.